like a copy of God's word, God's written word that is part of the Bible, New Testament, in its entirety, offered to you quite freely without any cost or any obligation to you. Your take, read, study, meditate upon God's word. Who knows, but perhaps find some comfort, maybe perhaps even faith, you know, that brings a body, a person. You like a copy of God's word that freely offered to you without cost or obligation to you. It is God's word, and it has that ability, as I say, to comfort people, to bring those in distress to call upon the name of the Lord in order that they might know Him and that they might even be saved, come to a knowledge of God's salvation. So if you would like to have a copy of God's word, it's offered to you quite freely. You're simply and only for the taking. Be only too pleased to place it in your hands. Come and ask for one if you would like. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us all about God's works. In the book of Psalms, for instance, Psalm 145, if you want to check it out, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Of course, the Bible given to us to impart knowledge to us because, well, without knowledge you can't be saved. You need to know something, you know. You need to know what to believe. You can't just believe out of thin air. You know, faith comes by hearing. The Bible says, and by hearing God's word, the word of God. And the word of God given to us to inform us of what God is like. Holy, absolutely, utterly holy, and holy in all His ways. And of course, it tells us that He's the one who made, created everything in the beginning by the word of His power. Yes, you could say, I guess maybe in one sense it began with a big bang, but that big bang was the voice of God bringing everything into being, creating out of nothing everything that there is now, even today. Not only is God your creator, He's your provider, and He's the one who would be your savior, your redeemer. Should you, that is, study the word of God, listen to the word of God, believe the word of God, given to inform you the likeness of God, and of course, how He made man out of the dust, how He made woman out of man, how He brought the two of them together, and then, of course, the human race is propagated by natural generations, by male and female. That's how God made them in the beginning, but made them upright, perfectly righteous, knowing God with a true holiness, a perfectness even, you know? Righteousness, holiness, and a true knowledge of God. But your first parent and mine, Adam, his name was, not just the first man, but the head of the entire human race, the father of us all. He disobeyed God. He went against God, contrary to God. And of course, he believed the lie, lived the lie, and brought sin, not just upon himself, but upon the entirety of the human race, all of us, his entire posterity, so that God can now say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and in need of salvation, in need of being save. And of course the Bible will give you that information too about yourself, how you were conceived in sin, how you were born in sin, how you live in sin, unless that is the grace of God intervenes, bringing salvation to you through the preaching of the gospel, through what I'm doing here today. It's how men and women come to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God that I'm declaring to you here this very day here in Walsall Town Centre. So you see, my friend, salvation for sinners, for those Christ Jesus, the Bible says, sent into the world, came into the world to save sinners. And that's all of us. Not a man, not a woman, says God, that sinneth not, all in need of God's salvation. But a salvation that is presented to you here today, set forth before you, the Son of God, sent into the world to be crucified, dead, buried, and raised again from the dead, in order that this salvation might be presented to you today, that I might be able to stand before you today and testify to you of the, not just of the being of God, but my friends, testifying of God's good news that He Himself has produced and provided and causes even today, causes to be proclaimed in all the world. And men and women, don't you know, in different parts of the world, far from places, today are hearing the good news of the gospel and coming to believe and put their trust, their faith in God's provision, in God's good news, in God's gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for sinners, just as the Bible said He would, many years before, predicted, prophesied that the Son of God would come and that He would die and rise again from the dead. So it has come to pass 2,000 years ago. The Son of God met His death upon that cross, was dead and buried, and 3 days later, raised again by the power of God from the dead, so that all who believe in Him, all who put their trust in Him, are saved, forgiven, reconciled to God, made fit for life, made fit for purpose, and made fit one day for heaven, given eternal life in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible, my friends, given to you for this reason, this purpose, that you might know God, love God, live in obedience to God, and my friends, all my friends, be safe both for time and for eternity. So I urge you, my friends, I exhort you today to get hold, take a copy of God's Word, offered to you freely, without any cost or obligation to you. Read, study, meditate upon God's powerful, mighty Word. Don't you know God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word abides forever. My word shall never, never pass away. Oh, I tell you, the same word of God here in the Bible that spoke in the beginning and created the heavens and the earth by the power of God's word that came to be, not by a nonsense of evolution, but by the word of God. And by the word of God, my friends, the world today is held together by the providence of God. Something else the Bible will tell you about. What are today's question, my friends? What are God's works of providence? Well, again, Psalm 145, verse 17, The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Everything that God does, everything that he performs, everything that he speaks, my friend, everything that he thinks is righteous and perfectly holy. The work of creation, my friends, a holy, a righteous work. But God's care, you see, of his creation. All things, don't you know, yourself and myself included, everything is dependent upon God and upon his providential care of us. The universe, you know, it's not just a simply, you know, a lump of matter that exists and has always existed. No, on the contrary, the Bible tells us it will not always exist. The time is coming. The time is short. The time is close when God will bring it to a conclusion. And he says this present world, as we know it now, will be dissolved in fervent heat. And a new heavens and a new earth will be produced and provided by God, wherein only righteousness dwells. So you see, my friend, if you are to be part of that, well, you need to get saved. You need to get right with God. You need to get reconciled to God. But rest assured, my friend, God's work of creation, it's all dependent upon God. The galaxies, the stars, it all hangs. It doesn't just hang together. It's held together by the word of God's power. He keeps it all in place. He keeps the world spinning on its axis at just the right speed and just in the right place. I'm told, my friends, I'm told that if the earth was to move just 1 centimeter closer to the sun, it would all just burn up in flames. And if it were to move just 1 centimeter away from the sun, it would all freeze in a nanosecond. It's all kept precisely. It's all kept in place by the word of God. He, in his providence, he watches over, looks after, and keeps and preserves that which he has created. And not just, of course, matter, but all the creatures that God has made, great and small, including yourself and myself as well. God didn't make the universe and the world the way that a watchmaker makes a watch, you know, and just stand back and, well, just set it in motion and just let it carry on itself. Oh God, my friends, is in all his creation, in all his world, lovingly preserving and keeping everything, my friends, according to his will. So everything and everybody, every one of us, my friends, dependent upon the will of God, dependent upon the providence of God. Is he ultimately who puts food on your table, gives you water to drink? My friends, God's providential care is even over the Bible. Jesus tells us, even over the tiny little sparrow in your back garden. Not one of them falls to the ground, says Jesus, without the divine will, without God decrees it, without God has willed it. So you see, my friends, God is in charge. God is in control. You're not just left to happenstance. You're not just left to chance. There's no such a thing as luck. It's God's providence. Even the present circumstances, even the virus, even the pestilence, even the disease amongst you now, my friend, it's not chance, it's not peradventure, it's sent of God. It's a judgment of God, chastisement of God, because of man's unbelief, because of man's sin, because of man's rebellion against God. That's why it's sent, to correct you, to awaken you, to alarm you, to make you think upon eternal matters and issues, to bring you to that realization yet again concerning the fragility and the brevity of life. God sends a tiny little virus, invisible virus amongst you, and it takes what, thousands and thousands of lives out of this world, gone forever. Oh, but gone where, my friends? Heaven or hell? Well, depends on what you do with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Whether a person has believed unto salvation or rejected the Son of God. But my friend, be assured, you're not left to chance. God's loving care, His providential care over the entire world, the entire human race. But even those judgments are brought to you in order that you might be awakened, alarmed, distressed, and call upon the name of the Lord in order that you might be saved. In order that you might take heed to the warning and call upon God's Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. The only way by which you can be saved. So my friends, don't be thinking, you know, that you're down on your luck maybe. Things are bad, things are terrible, you see. You know, it's all just bad luck. No, my friends. It's God's work of providence. And whatever your circumstances might be, whether they're good or bad, you should be obeying God, loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's what you are made for, given existence for. And my friends, God's providential care over you over many days. Even now, you're still walking, you're still breathing, you're still living. I mean, it could be a lot worse. You could have been taken by the virus or something else. You could be in the damnation of hell now. So you've got something to thank God for, His providential care on you, that you're not dead and buried, that you're not gone to hell, that you still got the breath of life in you. And so why don't you praise Him? Why don't you thank Him? Why don't you call upon the name of His Son in order that you might be saved before it's too late, my friend? Before it's too late, before the next funeral that you attend is your own. I just attended a funeral this morning. My next door neighbor passed away just a couple of weeks ago. Oh, and I tell you, my friends, I tell you, a funeral service, the preacher doesn't have to preach death. Death speaks for itself loudly and clearly. Now, the job of the preacher when it comes to a funeral is to preach life. Eternal life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give unto them who? My sheep, He said. Those who hear my voice and those who follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. So my friends, in the work of God's providence today, here you are still alive, walking, breathing God's air, eating God's food under His providential care. Oh, it could be a lot worse for you. Thank God for the breath of life in you. Thank God for your food. Thank God for every sip of water you take. Thank God that you're not dead. Thank God that you're not in hell, burning in the flames of hell now. Thank God that you're hearing the gospel today. thank God that the gospel is being declared amongst you today, that you might be saved, that you might know God's salvation yet. So you see, my friends, God, when God made everything and creating everything, God embedded laws into his creation. We have laws, don't we? One man said to me on one occasion, he said, I don't believe in nothing I can't see. So I said to him, well, I guess you don't believe in love then. I guess you don't believe in love. Guess you don't believe in mathematics. Guess you don't believe in the law of chemistry. Guess you don't believe in the law of logic then. No, my friend, all these laws, the laws of gravity, they're unseen but laws built into God's universe. And part of God's care, part of God's work of providence in maintaining, my friends, maintaining his universe, maintaining the world, and maintaining the human race, men and women the world over. So away with this foolish notion, my friend, that there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Those words were spoken, don't you know, in the first place to religious people.
Religious people,
you know, who claim that there is a God, but they live like there is no God. How many of you in Walsall like that today? If I asked you, you'd tell me, oh, I'm a Muslim, but you live like a dog or like a whore. Huh? You live drunken, you live in your lust, you live in uncleanness, you live in all the squalor of sin, and yet you tell me you believe in a God. Roman Catholic, eh? We got a Roman Catholic dude goes by here just about every Monday, muttering at us, calling us the Antichrist. No, it's the other way around. His religion's the Antichrist. Yeah. But you're Roman Catholic, eh? You say you believe in God. You do the beads. You kiss the feet of the Pope. You say you believe in God. But you live in sin. You live in the filth of sin. You blaspheme God's name. And you curse the name of his Son up one side and down the other. The fool, the person who confesses that there is a God but lives like there's not one. But then, of course, you atheists, as you call yourselves, fools rather, you're just the same. You're just the same. You live with the delusion that there is no God. And my friends, all these things of which I speak to you, God's providential work and care of the universe, of the world, of the human race, of your very own self, my friend, fly in the face of that foolish, foolish notion that there is no God. You know that there is. You are without excuse, says God, because of all the things that God has made, and because of his providential care, his providential work in the world, the universe, upholding all things and keeping all things together, the world, the human race, everything and everybody dependent upon God's providential care. How is it, do you think, you know, that God can answer prayer? If he's not the God of providence, if he doesn't providentially bring about every event that comes to pass in this world, how could he possibly be the answerer of prayer? But he is, my friend. He does, and there are many, many thousands, millions, I say, of people the world over who could testify here today if they were here. They could testify to God answering their prayer. And we have the words of Jesus. And we have the words of the entire Bible. We have historical records of God answering the prayers, the calls, the cries of His people. And He's able to do so. He's able to bring about circumstances in a way that's answerable to their prayer. Because He's the God of providence. That's how. If He wasn't, if everything was just locked up and locked in, if everything was just a piece of machinery ticking away forevermore, well then God could not intervene. But He's able to intervene because He is the worker of providence. And He's able, I tell you, to answer your prayer today. Whatever your circumstances might be, however bad they might be, however bad you might be, however wicked you might be, however much sin you've been involved in, I tell you, my friends, God answers prayer. And He bids you today, He says, call upon the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel, He says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because God in His providence is able, my friend, able to hear, not like the dumb idols that some people worship, you know. Not like the wooden statues in the Roman Catholic Church, you know, that they rub, you know, and kiss and say prayers to, you know, or dead prophets like Muhammad, you know, or the mother of Jesus, Mary. You know, my friend, speaking to such is, well, it's just a waste of time, because they can't hear you, they can't answer you, they can't bring deliverance to you, but the living and true God can. He's got ears, He can hear. And I tell you, He's got power. The power that brought the universe into being. And the power that governs providentially the universe, the world, and the human race. Oh, He's got the power. He's got the wonder-working power to work salvation in you today. If you would but in faith call upon the name of the Lord, you should be saved. So you see, my friend, God's providence is an absolute necessity, because the universe, the world, if God were to withdraw His providential care of the universe and the world, well, it would all just cease to exist. He upholds it by the word of His power. God is not clamoring to be heard. Jesus Christ is not pleading to be heard in this world. His word, my friends, holds it all together. He sustains it all day by day. You would not exist. I would not exist. The world would not exist if God were to withdraw His providential care. Everything and everybody, every one of us, is sustained by the loving, kind, providential care of God, of the Creator, and the one who would be your Redeemer, your Savior, should you but call upon His name. Jesus tells us there are no chance events, not even the hair that falls from your head, not even the sparrow that falls to the ground. There are no chance events. There are no circumstances of luck, good or bad, otherwise. No, no, my friends. Every event, I tell you, every happenstance, the earthquake, the tsunami, the car accident, everything, my friends, the sickness, the disease, everything. There's not a single event takes place in this world without God's at the back of it, without God as the cause of it. For his own good pleasure, for his own good purpose. And I tell you again, again I say to you, the present virus, the present pestilence amongst you, sent by God to work his purpose among you. Some of you to take you away to that place you do not want to go, that place the Bible calls hell. And some of you ought to waken up out of your sleep of death and come to the Lord Jesus that you might be saved. Some of you, oh, it will just harden your hearts more. You'll get more and more angry, more and more hostile to God in your sinful mind. But it will work its purpose. And then God will take it away in his providence. But it's all, my friend, it's all the providence of God. Every eventuality, I tell you, that happens in this world. Even man's sin is controlled by God. It was wicked men, it was evil men who took my Lord Jesus Christ and nailed him to a cross. Wicked, cruel, I tell you, to the extreme. But the Bible tells me that they did so according to the will of God, because it was God's predetermined counsel that his son should go to the cross and die for sinners like you, so that you could be saved. So you see, my friends, God's in control of man's sin. He channels it. He uses even man's sin for his own purposes. And my friends, man, in his wickedness, crucifying the Son of God, nailing him to a cross, did the supreme will of God. And today I can tell you the good news because of that. Because God, righteously, holily, God took man's sin and used it to bring about that event, so that the Son of God could shed his blood, spill his blood upon that cross, and so that salvation, so that eternal life, so that forgiveness, so that the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ could be presented to you today. Because God's in control, not man. Here we are today. Oh, we think so much of man. Man can do everything. Man can do anything. Man can send men to the moon. Man, oh, there's nothing man can't achieve. We can do it all. Or so you think and see. Until God sends a little bitty virus amongst you and brings the whole entire world to a standstill, and man can do nothing about it. No, no, my friend, God, he is the one who's in control by his work of providence. And you see, if you think about it, all the wonderful prophecies in the Bible, many of them have been fulfilled. Hundreds and hundreds of years before the Son of God was born into this world, the prophets were talking about his coming. The prophets were talking about him being born of a virgin, how he would come, why he would come, what he would do, how he would die, My friends, if God is not the God of providence, how could those prophecies be made? But there lies fruit for your faith. If you will look, if you will meditate, if you will study those prophecies in the Old Testament of the Bible, and then turn to the New and see how many of them have been fulfilled. How, I ask you? In the providence, in the divine providence of God. What a God! What an amazing God! Praise Him! Righteous are all His ways. Holy, holy, madam, are all His ways. Thank you. I got a nod. So you see, my friends, the end of God's creation is what? God's glory. The end of God's providence is what? God's glory. God's going to be glorified through all His works. God's going to get glory out of every man, woman, and child born into this world. God's going to get glory out of you, either in your salvation or your damnation. But my buddy and I are here today because we want God to get glory out of your salvation. We want you to come to Christ. We want you to come to that blood spilled on Calvary's cross for a sinner such as you. We want you in the providence of God hearing the testimony of God, the good news of God today, in the providence of God. Here you are, not chance. Here you are today under the sound of the gospel of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the love of God. That's the care of God. That's the providence of God. But my friends, with the opportunity, what will you do with it? Pilate asked the question, what will I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What will you do with Him? That's a question everybody must answer for himself. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Messiah? Will you reject Him again? Or will you believe on Him? Will you talk to Him in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God? The only way by which a man can be saved, my friends. Salvation comes to you in the providence of God. Will you receive it? Will you accept it, my friend? God is in control. God, my friends, is not a Democrat. And God is not running a democracy. God is sovereign. He's the absolute sovereign. Your times are in His hand. Your choosing, even your choosing's in His hand. You, my friend, you have nothing. You have nothing of a free will. That's God, my friends. That's God. Adam sinned that away for you. No, my friend. Your will, your desire, everything about you, God, in His providential power and care, He must turn you. The entirety of your being, He must turn your will towards Jesus. He must turn your desire towards Jesus. He must turn you, my friend. In His sovereign will and power in salvation, He must turn you. My friends, or you'll never be turned. So you see, my friends, not man. God's glory is the end of God's providence. Not man, my friend. Man is nothing. Man is a nothing. Man is just a tiny little speck of sinful dust in God's universe. Soon to be blown away. Soon to be blown away into a lost eternity. If you will not believe, if you will not repent. Here you are in times of trouble, times of loneliness, times of distress. And you'll turn to everybody. You'll turn to everybody and anybody. You'll worship the National Health Service, but you won't worship God. You'll turn to the psycho. You'll turn to the doctor. You'll turn to the priest. You'll turn to anybody. Anybody but Jesus. Because you're a rebel. You're a rebel at heart. In rebellion against God, against your Creator, against the God of providence, and against the God of redemption. My friends, that rebellion has to come to an end. That rebellion, my friend, must be snuffed out. You must suppress the rebellion in you. The way that you suppress the knowledge of God, you must stamp on it. Stamp on it, my friend. And you must yield yourself to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Oh, my friends, God. God is in all His works. And as the psalmist says, righteous in all His ways. Holy, holy, holy in all His works. In His work. In His work of salvation. Holy, causing men and women to be holy, made holy through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because without that holiness, without God makes you holy, no man shall ever see Him, come to know Him. You must be altered. You must be changed by the power of God. You must be brought to the cross. The cross, my friends, the greatest evidence and the greatest commendation of God's love in all the universe. The cross, Not the manger. Not the cattle shed. Not the little baby. The full-grown man hangs on the cross. There's the evidence of God's love. And there alone, nowhere else. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, bled and died. Died, my friend, an atoning death. Died a death to take away sin. Take away your sin. If you will but believe, if you will but repent and believe the gospel. But you must repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must come to the cross with your rebellion. And there have it snuffed out. There, my friends, have your rebellion taken away. Yield yourself. Submit yourselves to the mighty Son of God, who's alive and alive from the dead and alive forevermore, and able to save to the uttermost all who come to Him, all who put their trust in Him. Salvation, the favor of God. Reconciliation to God, covenant friendship with God that's endless, and the love of God, that too is endless. Everlasting love, everlasting righteousness. Heaven, heaven beckons. Heaven's door is open to those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Heaven's doors are wide open, I tell you, to all those clothed in the righteousness of God's Son. Go to Jesus today. Let Him take the filthy rags of your own righteousness off you. And let Him clothe you with the best, my friend. Better than any Armani or Gucci. Clothed in the righteous robes of Jesus. Clothed in salvation, in holiness. Oh, that's the work of God. And the work of God for you is this, that you should believe on the one whom He sent, Jesus, the mighty Son of God, who would save you if you would but come to Him. But ye are not willing to come to Me, that you might have life. There's life to be found, life to be had in Jesus. Will you come? You say, how do I come? This is how you come. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Whilst all are you hearing Me? Are you hearing the voice of God's Son? Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Check these things out for yourself. Receive the Word of God written. Read and study. Meditate for yourself. Offer to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You'd like a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you also. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.